I think we had a minute 5-on-3 last year, and so we've taken a look at it at practice. We've spoken about it. Taylor had a point-blank shot. I mean, we really love to see Taylor getting a scoring chance like that, but you would like to see more shooting, more net pressure, a little bit quicker puck movement. I thought we kind of killed off the first 20, 30 seconds instead of working pucks to the net right away. When you only have a minute of 5-on-3, it's different than a 2-minute 5-on-3. You need to be more urgent and more desperate. And I know we're going to learn and grow from that one, but everybody knows after a game like this, when you get a 0, a 5-on-3 is a missed opportunity that we didn't take.
Ralph Kruger after the loss in Philly the other night. On our Western hotline is the media mogul himself, Martin Baron, brought to you by Paul William Belts, your power of attorney, and by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. What's up there, MB? How are you?
I'm doing good. Howard, you're a great host. You're a great radio personality. You'd be a terrible football coach because your time management is awful.
Yeah, I'm the reverse of delay of game. I guess if there's such a penalty for being late all the time, I would just get constantly flagged. They would actually name the penalty after me.
I was just going to say, like, the Washington situation and with the Capitals and the players that all met in one room and, you know, they broke the protocol. It's the kind of rule that some players, like, they're like, nobody will find out. You know, if I'm late for the break or I'm late for practice or I'm late for curfew, no big deal. Now you're going to get big fine next time that happens.
Nah. They stopped caring years ago. I'm so bad. Anyway, let's get to it. So this Hall guy, I think he's all right. I think he's turning out to be a good addition, wouldn't you say?
I think he's fantastic, and it's adding another layer to the Jack Eichel line because, as we've seen in Philly on the first game, when Sam Reinhart scored his second goal of the game, Jack Eichel in the neutral zone, instead of like trying to make a play and skating, you know, one-on-one against the defenseman, maybe turning the puck over, he rimmed it to the far side, and who was there first? It was Taylor Hall. And in the second game, they did it again, and they got a scoring chance early in the first period. So he's so fast. He can play a multi-dimensional game. It's not just the offense. It's the puck retrieval. It's the forecheck. He's great. I love watching him play. I think it's a great compliment to Eichel and his line. And they're still not clicking 100%, but when they do, it's going to be fantastic.
And a good idea putting Reinhart back with Eichel, never a bad thing to do. And I know there's always the discussion, I guess, or the debate that the coaches would have about trying to get multiple line scoring, but Reinhart is just such a good fit with those two guys. That line could be really, really dangerous.
Yeah, and you know what? You want multiple line scoring. You want depth in your lineup. You have the players to be able to do it, even if you put Sam Reinhart on the top line. And after the first series against Washington, so the first game, the Sabres score 4. They lose 6-4 in an empty net. But, you know, Ilya Samsonov with Washington really did not have a good game. The Sabres, got a few weak ones on them, and it was a weird game. But in the second game, you realize that, you know, you need more offense. If you have to load up the top line to get the offense, you know what? Do it. And it worked in Philly in the third game. Now Brian Elliott played well in the fourth game. And, you know, the 5-on-3, as we just heard, Ralph Brewer really did the Sabres in on that game. So I don't mind it. Load up the top line. It's not like last year or 2 years ago where you don't have anything left in the lineup after the top line. You still have a lot of talent, a lot of good players. They'll figure it out, but you have a better chance of scoring and scoring often with that top line when Reinhart is with Eichel and Hall.
We like to work in goalie questions for you when you're on. Carter Hutton was looking good, Marty, up until the point where he was injured in the collision and did not come back out for the third period. What did you see from him so far this season? Because he seems to be playing well in an unbelievably small sample size.
Yeah, a small sample size. What I saw in the first game of the season, I thought he was tight. I thought he was a little anxious, and it was a weird game against Washington. The Sabres turned the puck over a ton, and a lot of great A scoring chances, but not a lot of scoring chances, but some really, really good ones right in front of him. Now, in Philly, he finds out he's going to play probably in the morning, maybe even after the morning skate. So I think what happened is he was a lot more relaxed. You know, like, he didn't have time to overthink it. He didn't have time to worry so much about the game. He was relaxed and played a really good game in a 6-1 win and was really good in the start, even after the collision and the injury, where if that was me, I would have been laying on the ice and say, hey, take me out. I'm completely, you know, not feeling, you know, like this is going to go well.
Yeah.
He fought. He stayed in there until the second intermission, and he was the reason the Sabres were, you know, still in the game at that point, because they weren't creating enough offensively. But, yeah, he's looked good, much more relaxed. Now, again, you know, I hope he's fine. I hope he gets to play soon again to keep going. If he's got to miss 2-3 weeks and then return, that could really hurt him and hurt the Sabres.
Eric Staal so far, I'd like to get your thoughts on his game. And I know it isn't just statistic related. He has one assist. He hasn't scored a goal yet. What do you think of his first four games?
I'm not going to look at statistics for Eric Staal right now. I don't think the numbers, if anybody had to guess, I don't think the numbers were going to be there at the start of the season. Because his age, because his experience level, I think he's going to get himself going at some point. But it's been a struggle for Eric Staal. It's been a struggle in many different aspects. The production is not there. He's lost, you know, some face-offs and key face-offs. And in the first game against Washington, there was a key face-off. It ended up being a Brendan Dillon goal. You know, he's made some costly turnovers. You know, we go back to game one. The turnover, I think that was Varana that put it up over the glove of Hutton. That was an uncharacteristic a mistake by Eric Staal. So I've not seen the complete game that I want to see from Eric Staal yet, but I think it's going to develop. There's a few older players, and I don't want to call Eric Staal old, but there's a few older players in the league that are having a slower start. Evgeny Malkin in Pittsburgh is having a slow start. He just scored his first goal last game, a power play goal, but it's still not where Malkin should be. I think we're going to see some players that the pause and the no training camp, the no exhibition games is going to affect more. And those older players, I think, are going to be victimized from that a little bit more.
Marty, I think Eric Staal even might have kind of said something to the effect when he got hit in the head, it was kind of a little bit of a wake-up call, like, oh, all right, we're playing, you know, with no preseason.
Yeah.
It might be tough, and maybe as you get older, you know, you don't feel like you need the preseason, but you maybe do. Your body doesn't bounce back or kind of vault right into top-level play the way it did when you're 24 or whatever.
No, absolutely. I think you need preseason to get yourself in game mentality, if you want to say. Like, you're not going to go in preseason and give it 100% if you're 35, 36, 40 years old, whatever. You're not going to score 6 goals in 3 preseason games and say, wow, look at me, I'm going for the scoring title this year. But your body and your mind needs it to get in game mode. And right now, Eric Staal, you're right. The play that he got hit by Nick Dowd, I still think it's a very, very bad hit. I still think that should have been suspended. But Eric Staal is coming through the middle unaware of what's going on around him. He's really slow coming out in the middle. He's stick-handling like 5 times. He dumps the puck in. He has no idea there's somebody that's coming to hit him. And that is the lack of mentally being game-ready. And I think that was a wake-up call. He's absolutely right. You never want to get a guy hurt and then say, hey, it's a good thing you got a wake-up call. But I think in the long run, after, you know, this all settles in, I think it's going to be a good thing for him, and he's going to respond.
The other guy I wanted to ask you about, he's generating a lot of chances, but he just hasn't been able to get a goal yet. And I think maybe it is a good sign that they moved him up to the Staal line the other night in the latter portions of the game in Philly, the second game in Philly. And that's Jeff Skinner so far. Seems to be, the last couple of games for sure, skating much better around the net and really getting some golden opportunities.
Yeah, he's gotten some great opportunities. He's hit a few posts. And Brian Elliott robbed him twice, just playing point blank in the first period, I believe, in Philadelphia in the last game. So the thing with Skinner is that he's never going to score like Victor Olofsson or like Jack Eichel will score from the tops of the circles or from, you know, 45 feet, 40 feet away from the net. He's going to score the garbage type goals. And he said that to me, you know, a couple of years ago. We did a tablet talk and he says, I love garbage goals, deflection goals, rebound, you know, scoring from five feet out, 6-7 feet out around the crease. That's where he makes his money. And that's where he scores his goals. And right now he's getting those chances because he's getting to the front of the net. He's getting opportunities, but he's got to finish. He's got to bury those chances. But he's skating. He's getting involved in the forecheck. He's creating turnovers. You know, the Curtis Lazar goal in the first Philly game was a direct result of what Skinner did in the neutral zone. He pushed the defense back. He with his skating and the puck was lobbed in the air, he pushed the defense back. The puck was turned over in the neutral zone. Lazar picks it up, and he's got a flat-footed defense that is already 10, 15 feet inside the blue line in their zone, and he's able to walk around the defense and get the backhand shot. That was a fantastic shot, by the way. But that was a direct result of Jeff Skinner being able to push the defense back. So I've liked what he's done. I think the scoring and the numbers are going to come. But he's playing with a lot more confidence, and he's getting a lot of good things done.
Well, Mr. Baron, thank you for your patience. Sorry we were late, and I'll do a better. I can't guarantee that. I'll try and do a better job of being on time next Thursday.
That's all right. As long as you don't coach the Bills, I'm all good for it.
Yeah.
Go Bills this weekend. And Jeremy, just a quick thought. I thought. Great column in the on WGR550.com yesterday. That was fantastic, and we'll be thinking of you, your mom, your family this weekend.
Well, Marty, you got to kind of be a little like that too, right? I mean, you're not from here, and now you live here, and I'd imagine you consider yourself a pretty big darn Bills fan these days.
Absolutely. I never grew up watching the NFL, and now it's funny you talked about your mom and my dad last weekend. We were texting during the game. It was late. I didn't want to call. My mom was sleeping, and we're texting during an NFL football game. It's never happened in my life. My dad, number one, doesn't text a lot, and number two, he never watches football a ton, and now he's involved, and he's watching the Bills, and he's texting me, and he's talking to my kids, and it's great. So, yeah, I'm like you. I was adopted by this area, this region, and now I'm full-blown Bills and whatever else is happening here in Buffalo.
What's your pick for Sunday?
Yeah, what's your prediction? Get on the record here.
I'm going to get on the record, but I still think it's going to be a not as high-scoring game as everybody thinks. So I'm going to say 24-20 Bills.
All right. We'll take it.
Yeah, I'll take any win at this point. 2-0 will be fine. Well, no, that'd be kind of boring. All right. Well, listen, enjoy the game Sunday, and we'll catch up with you again next week. As always, Marty, thank you for your time.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.